Welcome back to another episode of Another Mother Podcast, a safe place for blended families to unravel the blended chaos and share lessons learned, the good, the bad, and the high conflict. I'm your host, Dana. I've been a struggling and confused stepmom for over 8 years now, and I'm finally feeling like I'm starting to find my groove while flailing and failing along the way. Now let's grab a drink and talk some shit. Hey guys, thanks again for joining me on another episode. I guess it's time to share a positive like we usually always do. As we know, this role, this type of family dynamic, it can be a lot of negative and we can focus on a lot of that. And that's okay. Like there is a lot of negatives and there's a lot of drama and there's a lot of emotions. So that's why I think it's good to at least focus on one positive here. Like, doesn't have to be step family related or anything. I just think it's good to focus on something good. So right now, I'm going to focus on the fact that, like, without jinxing it, like, I think we're headed into the warm weather. Sorry if I just jinxed it for you. I know a lot of people tell me to shut the fuck up before I jinx it, but we're having some pretty amazing weather today. It was literally between recording and being outside, and I want to do both. So I'm hammering out my episodes. I plan on getting dressed and taking my old senior dog for a nice leisurely walk. And I might end up having a fire tonight, just with my son and probably my dad, because it's just us three home at this very moment in time. So I think we're just gonna like soak up as much as we can. It's so nice that we were able to start our seeds last week. Not to say that they can be outside or anything, but I am lucky enough to have a house that has some amazing window space. So I'm able to kind of start a lot of things in my windowsills, which is amazing. We get, like I said, we get so much sun in our backyard, and that's where my windows are. And then I also have some grow lights. So those have been freaking awesome. So I have those in the basement. So again, we homeschool my son. So it was up to him last week on what we did. And he's like, I want to start my seeds. So we did that. We started, let's see, let me think here. I think we did some broccoli, some lettuce. What else did we start? Oh, shoot. I forget, but I'll have to keep you posted on that. But they have been doing really well, and I'm just so proud of him. And, you know, the importance of growing your own food, I think it's just it's something that I feel like we should all know and we should get back to. So I'm really, really excited about that. I have some major plans for my backyard this year and with all of the different vegetables, literally my deck, I think is just going to be all plants. Like, I'm just going to be a crazy plant lady from now on, but that is making me super happy and super excited. The sunshine, I mean, who, that makes anybody happy. I don't care who you are. That vitamin D, like, we need it. We need it after the winter we've had, after the last couple of years that we've had, things are opening. Like, I'm just so grateful for that at this moment in time. So we're going to take advantage of it as much as we can. So that, my friends, is my positive for today. So moving on to our episode. I know I've kind of touched on this before, so forgive me, but I've made this episode a little bit different. I know we've talked about family dynamics and just raising children differently. And what I mean when I say that is, I know you know what I'm talking about. It is raising, I mean, you can do your very best, but raising your stepchild differently than you raise your biological child. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just the difference in personalities. My kids, my bonus daughter's 13. My son is turning 9 next month. Actually in the next couple of weeks, which is so exciting and sad at the same time. Who are we kidding? And they are just both really they've really come into their personalities and like who they are and what they're about and what their personalities are like. And I think for a long time, me and my spouse, we were guilty of parenting them the same, and feeling like we needed to, you know, be so blended that you couldn't tell that, you know, they were different kids from different households, from different parents. I mean, really, my bonus daughter and my son are completely different. They are, and rightfully so, they are from two different sets of parents. So genetically speaking, they are very, very different. They almost look the same, which is crazy. Like, you could definitely be like, yep, they're definitely siblings, like biologically, but, yeah, they're very different. My son is around my spouse and I all the time. He does not see his biological dad. His biological dad has moved away and is not in the picture, but, and then my, you know, my bonus daughter, she goes between homes and she has two sets of parents over there who are fucking night and day from us, right? So obviously things are going to be a little different. I just feel like that's just something that we accepted a long time ago, but I don't feel like we really fully like understood what that meant. Like, we accepted it, but we didn't really take into consideration like how we were going to navigate through parenting through that. Okay. So, you know, my son, like I said, my son's going on 9 and he's pretty receptive to things that are going on in our blended family that maybe other kids his age would never really even think have a thought about, you know? So for example, he feels like it's odd and he doesn't know how to navigate being an only child half of the time. So we get my bonus daughter week on, week off. So if he feels like every other week he needs to adjust. And I've always said it, I've said this since day one, that transition day is hard for both kids. They both, I mean, we only have 2 kids, and it might be different in your family because you might have a bigger family and there might be more siblings. But for us, the transition is really hard because both of our children feel like they only have a sibling half the time. And that makes me sad because I really truly feel like that is, you know, a direct result of so many years of bio mom telling my bonus daughter that she is an only child and she doesn't have a sibling. And no matter what we say, that my son is not her sibling. He's just who he is. And he just lives with you and he's just Dana's kid. And like, I mean, that drilled into her head at such a young age. And what brought that up for me was just kind of going through some stuff in the basement last week. And I'm trying to clean it up because I'm trying to get my photography studio kind of put in the basement now that the kids don't really use it for like toy play so much. And I was going through some stuff and I found, you know, like their little journals that they have from school every day. It wasn't like a personal journal. It was one that, you know, she wrote in for school where the teacher would like ask a question and then they'd just answer it and draw a picture and whatever. And it was like, you know, like a page of like who I am. And I would say this was probably first or second grade. She's in 7th grade now. So in first grade, it was like all about me. We had been a family still for quite a few years at this point in time. Things were good, accepting, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, she says, she's like, I'm an only child. And it's like, okay. And I can't say that it didn't like hurt at the time and still seeing it. I'm just like, oh, but that was just a direct result of, you know, her mom basically telling her like, you don't have a sibling. That's it. It's just you. So pay no mind, like nothing that he does is ever going to make him your brother kind of thing, which is really, really sad. And I know for a fact, this isn't just hearsay. I know for a fact that she has said that because she has actually had the nerve to say it to my spouse's face. She's never had the nerve to say it to my face before, but she has had the nerve to say it in front of mediators and in front of litigation, in front of lawyers, that that's absolutely disgusting that we would even suggest that they are siblings. If you can believe that. Like, we haven't only just been together like 6 months, a year, two, three, like 9 years. They only know each other. It's crazy. And they developed that on their own. They developed that relationship on their own. We never pressured it. We never told them that's what they are. They just did that all on their own. There was no pressure whatsoever. And so that's always been a little bit difficult to say. She has definitely made, my bonus daughter has made comments in front of other kids when they're all playing and what, like with my son. And she says, oh, that's not my brother. He's just like my stepbrother. Like, don't worry about it kind of thing. So those have been hurtful things, which gets him questioning like, well, are we, like, are we siblings? And, you know, cue the whole like, mommy, can you and daddy please have another kid so that, you know, they at least are my sibling. So it's like hard to navigate those discussions. And in no way, shape or form am I like mad at my bonus daughter for saying or feeling those things. Because yeah, when you get told something enough by someone who you look up to and who you love without a doubt, when you hear those things, you believe them to be true. So that's just how that was. And I still think deep inside of her, she definitely still struggles with accepting that. And again, it's not something we ever force down her throat, but I think it'll take one day. And she might even be an adult where she's like, oh yeah, that's definitely like, that's my brother and blood doesn't matter. Right. So anyway, I trailed off a little bit there, but that's something that he definitely feels like he struggles with now that he's a little bit older and can understand things a little bit more. He is very aware, again, more so than other kids his age, about the calendar and our schedule. Like, he knows what day it is. He knows when we get my bonus daughter back. He knows that we, you know, basically try to schedule things around when we have her. You know, obviously we're not gonna die on a hill about it. Like, if there's something fun that's come up that we are able to swing or anything like that, like, we do it. But we generally just really consider having her there because we want her to be a part of it, right? So it's so cute to hear him talk to his friends of like, when, you know, where his sister is and when she's coming back and how that works. And like, oh, we should probably check to see like if that works. And he's just all about the schedule. And I just think that's because monkey see, monkey do, right? Like, that's what we do all the time. I'm always like, oh God, I don't know. Like, let's check the schedule because the schedule is fucked. And I just like, oh man, I would love to just not live by that calendar anymore. But you know what? Time will come where it won't be as needed anymore, and it'll be smooth sailing from there. But man, if there's one thing we can say, us as blended families know our shit about our calendars, man. If you don't have like a million all over the place, like, you're not actually blended. So anyway, then the last thing that he definitely feels like he is different from his friends that aren't in a blended family is treading lightly with my bonus daughter on transition days and just being aware that those days are really tricky. So most transition days, it's been different the last few months just because my husband's been off work. But usually transition days consist of me going to get her. We go get her from school, we have a little talk, myself and my son, every time we go pick her up about like, yeah, okay, like, how are we going to be today? And like, you know, I know we like to tease and give each other a hard time. And I know we like to joke around and things like that and have a good time. But like, she's just coming back and she's just, you know, trying to get herself comfortable and trying to get herself adjusting to being in our home. So we have to like give her a little bit of grace. And it's a pep talk. Like, we pep talk each other prior to, and it's nothing against her. It's just, you know, reminding each other that, you know, the transition can be hard for her, therefore it can be hard for us, and that we need to kind of, you know, pay attention to those things and just kind of give her time to get comfortable, open up, and she'll come along hopefully in her own time over the next couple of days. But man, I mean, you guys know firsthand too how hard those transition days come, and sometimes they don't kind of get to themselves until like a few days before they're actually going to go back, and it's like a constant cycle, and it's just so upsetting and it's so hard. But I think it's really important to communicate to our kids so they're not like, hey, what the fuck is like her problem, or you know, like, and they get into a huge fight because, you know, someone's feeling a certain way. And you know, there, it could be something as simple as something happened at her home at her mom's that made her upset, or maybe her mom was upset about something, or her stepdad was maybe upset about something that happened in the home. Like, it does at every home. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but she carried it over, brought it to school, and then is also bringing it over to our house and doesn't know how to, you know, express it without, you know, making somebody look bad or anything like that, which is crazy. But that's how she honestly views it. So we just need to give her that grace. And honestly, on purpose, I booked piano lessons for Mondays after school. We have a couple hours to kind of just sit and chill and do our thing, and then we go to our piano lesson, because I just find it's a nice, like, just blank space where she can go and just kind of almost be distracted. She doesn't have to worry about either home or, you know, kind of being in an awkward place. And it's just like that kind of nice breakup. And our piano teacher is the most amazing woman ever. And she just makes them so happy and comfortable. And I don't know, she's always just kind of on their side, on their team. And she's like their hype girl every Monday. So at first I was like, oh man, Mondays, like that could be tricky, but I feel like it's really, really worked in our favor, which is really great. But yeah, those are just things as an 8-year-old, he really has, you know, like he's just really taken on that awareness, I guess, of how different they are and maybe why she acts the way she does. And, you know, how hard it all must be for her being in between homes and what have you. And again, we just like talk that out all the time. And, you know, there are times we really have to, you know, have a talk with her about him. And, you know, I know it's like he kind of tries to like pounce on you as soon as you get home because he's so excited to see you and have you home. And we do discuss kind of just like giving you your space and like letting you kind of work your way into being in our house. But his, you know, his intentions are pure, just like hers are. And he's just excited to see you. And you also have to give him that grace too, right? So there's that. But mainly, like, I like recording episodes that I know that like I'm experiencing firsthand in the moment. And these days I would just say like, my biggest struggle as a mom, as a stepmom, as someone in a blended family, has been trying to navigate parenting each child differently and trying to implement our values and priorities into their daily life. And that's been really, really hard being in a blended family because just they live life so differently and we live life so differently. And so the things that we find enjoyment in, I mean, she just doesn't necessarily see it that way. And in the last 2 years, like if there's anything we've learned, there's been a lot of bullshit. I don't care what you believe, what you think, what side you're on or whatever. We've all learned something about ourselves in the last 2 years. And for us, that's been prioritization. Like, what is important to us in our daily lives? And honestly, number one, health, mental and physical. Family. Family is everything. And of course, those friends that are just like family. And just the importance of back to our roots and being outdoors. Like, there was so many things that were locked down, that were, you know, closed up, that were, you know, we were told we couldn't do. If there's one thing you could do, no matter what, no matter what anyone said, you could go outside. And I don't know about you guys, but if I didn't have that outside, if I didn't have that, you know, being able to get outside and enjoy the fresh air, get the vitamin D and just like, just be. And it was almost like a distraction, like nothing else. You didn't know that there was anything crazy going on in the world when you were outside. When you were inside, you knew because you had your phone updating you. You had the TV, you had social media, blah, blah, blah. But when you're outside, like you're outside and things are just normal, right? So those are like definitely our three, not our only three, but like our top three priorities in our life. We have these discussions with the kids at the table lots. And I say lots at the table. That's just because like that seems to be when you're all sitting down together and can have these types of discussions, right? So we have these discussions with the kids. Of course, there are lots of things that you can enjoy that I feel like we're really lucky to have, being in the country that we're in and, you know, just like how things are, of course, like my kids want to go to the indoor trampoline park and, you know, they're hoping to go on a family trip and this and that. But those were the three things that we prioritized. Unfortunately, though, those same priorities are not upheld in the other home. So it becomes very hard to find things that we enjoy to do together because, you know, when my bonus daughter is gone, it's not a question and it's not hard and I'm not worried or anxious about it. Like, when she's gone, we can go be outside and no one's complaining or looking miserable or like just, you can just feel there's like a vibe, there's an energy shift. I mean, every now and then my husband's kind of like that, but generally everything's really good. Everything's really easy. But when it comes to when she's there, it's like you're constantly working your ass off to try to make sure she's like having a good time or like isn't just totally miserable and kind of bringing down everybody else, as much as, you know, as best we try to ignore it and try to just like let her vibe into it. But I think where we were going wrong was that, you know, I don't think we were as open to do the things that she wanted to do as well. And like, don't get me wrong, like I'm not a huge like, oh, we do this and this and this all the time. And we spend money here and spend money there and make sure they're, you know, getting everything that they need and that they're always overstimulated. Like I'm not that kind of mom and I never will be. I think there's beauty in boredom. And I think that's when, you know, our kids get the most creative is when they're kind of just doing their own thing. That being said, and everything's fucking expensive. So there's that, but she is at an age and it's very much encouraged on her mom's end of things where it's like her top three are number one, friends, number two, clothes and getting her nails done, number three, her cell phone. Like that's it. And I find that completely unacceptable. Don't get me wrong. I don't think this is just like a her mom thing. I think this is a 13-year-old girl thing in 2022. Like I realize that not everything can just be blamed on being in a blended family. This is being in a blended family and being a teenage girl in 2022. I realize that, but I can't help but think that it might be a little different if she was, you know, just had our influence, right? Like, I feel like she would find the beauty in other things and it would be easier, obviously, if it was just us, right? So those are things we harped on her. Like we harped on those things, like, and that was our bad. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, we would just be like, No, it's not all about this. It's not all about that. You need to do this. And like, this is what's important. And this is what we find is the best thing to do. And let's be honest, like she's 13, she's got a mind of her own and it's not exactly who she is because she's not just from our home. We are not her only influence, right? So that being said, as much as I don't prioritize, you know, any of those things, I feel like we kind of had a turn of events last year where it was like, okay, we harped on her for the social media stuff and she hid everything. right? And she got herself into some trouble. You know, we she, you know, can bring her friends over at any point in time and blah, blah, blah. But there's been some shitty friends. And we've told her, like, listen, like, those are not good kids. Like, those are not. And again, we're pretty easygoing and we kind of just like, you know, we'll just blend in the background. But like, some of these kids are just like so extra. Like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And like, we harped on her about, you know, the importance of clothes, because all she wants to do is spend money, and get the latest and greatest, blah, blah, blah. And that's just something her and her mom really enjoy doing together, which, not my cup of tea, but if that's where you guys like to spend your time, then all the power to you. But then comes the awful part of her expecting that also on our side, right? So with my husband not having a job for quite some time, and again, I'm not the breadwinner in the family. I have some extra businesses. Sorry, lost my train of thought, but I have the businesses, but I'm not bringing in quite enough for what he was bringing in, right? To supplement. So, you know, that was a discussion that needed to be had with her. Like, number one, we don't always just go out and buy the latest and greatest of every article of clothing just because. We don't do that anyway, let alone while your dad is not working, right? So, I mean, okay, like, we would do like the odd, you know, new thing, try and meet her halfway. I remember being 13, and I remember anything outside of West 49 for me was unacceptable, right? But that being said, if I went to thrift stores and I found that name brand that I was into, like Vans or, you know, Roxy or Billabong or whatever it was, and I saw it like at a secondhand shop, like I bought it. That did not faze me at all. So I tried that with her. And it works. And it works sometimes. It's not like an all the time thing. I don't just always go there just to like buy her a bunch of crappy rags or anything. And you may not be on board with the whole thrift shop thing. It runs in my blood. I think I was born with a coupon. Like, I find a deal anywhere. That being said, I don't just dress myself in rags. I buy secondhand, but it's like brand new secondhand. So it's awesome. So we did that. And that seemed to be more of like a happy medium for her. Again, and it was only when she like needed stuff. And like, I try to be more open about asking her, like, you know, how are your pants or how are your shirts? How's your sweater situations? Like, are we good? So that was just kind of my way of like meeting her halfway instead of just being like, no, we can't shop and we can't afford anything and blah, 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 blah. Like, I tried to meet her halfway with that. So that was just one suggestion as to like trying to be a little more on her level. Okay. When it comes to friends now, we just let her sail her own ship. She's had some pretty drastic friend changes. She's had some pretty drastic wake-up calls when it comes to her peers. You know, but all we can do when she's having an issue and she actually comes to us about it now, like all we can do is just be like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like, do you think that makes a good friend? And, you know, like, what are you looking for in a friend? And what kind of a friend are you to others? And we just kind of have those like general discussions instead of just like bashing that friend, or because then it's kind of like the situation when your friend comes up to you and they're like, I'm thinking of leaving my boyfriend or my husband, and you're like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So you just kind of keep it open because you know damn well they're gonna get back together. Some point, right? I've been in that situation. So I don't want her to feel like she can't bring that friend around or whatever when they decide to be friends on again, right? So we just kind of keep it pretty general. We just kind of have that discussion, and it's just like, yeah, okay, like if you want to bring these people into your life and keep them in their life, your life, when they're not treating you so hot, like, I don't know, man, like that's kind of on you, and it's your life, and you can be friends with who you want to be friends with, but at the end of the day, you also have to have some expectations for yourself, right? And then the damn cell phone, right? Like, these are her top three. So with the cell phone, I mean, it was hidden from us for so long. And she was told to hide it from us for so long. So this went on for quite a few years. It hasn't been until this last year that she's been allowed to bring it to our house. Not that we really care if it comes over or not, but yeah, she's been able to bring it over. We have rules and expectations, and we talked about those rules and expectations prior to her bringing them over so that it was noted. It's like, you can decide if you want to bring it or not bring it. But we try not to, like, I guess, harp so much on the fact that she has it and that we don't really approve, right? Because, like, this wasn't a discussion that was just, you know, had with us. Like, what do you guys think? Like, we're getting her a phone, or hey, like, she's gonna bring it over to your house, or like anything like that. Like, the cell phone thing has not ever really been a discussion. We've just had to kind of handle it as it gets whipped at us, essentially. So we have harped on it in the past because we didn't feel like at like 9 or 10 that it was appropriate that she even had one. And it didn't help anything, right? Like, that was kind of on us, where she didn't feel like we approved of it. So she just kind of kept it a secret, right? So now it's just more like, oh, okay, cool. Who are you talking to? Or like, every now and then she will be on her social media, which, God, I freaking hate. But hey, she's following the rules. It's in our house. It's in our living room. It's in a public space. And if I hear her say something, I'm like, oh, what's that? And then she'll kind of open up more to me and kind of show me like what she's like laughing at or whatever it is. So I'm trying to create more of like a open and organic discussion about it, instead of just like, hey, we disapprove and it's bullshit and, you know, you shouldn't have it and you're fuck it up and shame, 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 right? So we're learning. My husband and I are still learning. Like, it's been really, really hard. Some of these things might seem really, really obvious to you, but to us, it's just taking a lot of trial and error and, you know, navigating around, you know, like a co-parent that doesn't really give you much of a choice, and you just have to deal with what comes and what gets thrown at you, right? Trying to meet halfway with her passions is just, it's really hard. And it's when she's so, I mean, she's a daughter, and usually daughters usually are just, you know, like, they look up to their mothers, and her mom's influence and her opinion is weighs so heavily on her that it's hard to get her to open up to do other things, if you know what I mean. So instead of forcing things that only we prioritize, we try to mix it up a little bit when she is with us. So, you know, we enjoy being outside. We enjoy, you know, getting that fresh air. We enjoy exercise, those types of things. Like, we're not really like couch movie people. Like, we will on the weekends and stuff, but like, otherwise, we're just like not those people. And she enjoys doing that with her mom. So we try to pick like a day a week where, you know, we do that. Whether it's with her or, you know, she's like watching something. Like, we're not someone like who's like, oh, they come home from school and they immediately go right to watching TV. Like, we, you know, have your chill space, have your chill zone, relax. I don't care, but like, I don't necessarily think that we need the TV on at all times. So trying to find that happy medium for her is something that, I can tell she finds joy in it, right? We're not going to give up like our values just because their values are different. So we're just trying to meet her halfway in a lot of ways. Every once in a while, I'll do something that I know is just like right up her alley. So for example, she absolutely loves, like, doesn't matter what her age is, she loves anything like Disney or like fairy tale or anything like that. Like, her favorite thing in the world is Alice in Wonderland. And I happened to have come across or stumbled across a restaurant in Calgary, and it's called the Alice in Wonderland Experience. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And you go there, and it's literally like a dinner entertainment. You go there, and it's like everything looks like it's from Alice in Wonderland, and it's so crazy. And I know she's gonna just like absolutely go nuts over it, but I know it's something that she enjoys. It's something that's totally her thing. And so I'm recognizing that, and I'm gonna, make that effort and do something that, like my son could care less about that stuff, but I know she loves it. So that's something that we're gonna try and do in the future as well. It's just a lot of give and take. It's a lot of, it's just something being in a blended family is not just do this my way. This is how we like it. Like, it takes the most patient and open-minded of people. To just like have an open mind and be open to kind of changing what you would normally do. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying you need to like uproot everything and give up everything that you know and just go with whatever the other co-parent does. But for the child's sake, like, you kind of have to be a little more open-minded about it. It's easy to get stuck in your ways. And I know it's not always the right answer. And I'm not saying that you need to like accept bad behavior and just be like, well, okay, like that's just who you are. Like, no, you don't have to accept the bad behavior, but just maybe getting out of your comfort zone and seeing the way they do things that might be differently from you, if that makes any sense. Another reason it's just been like, I trying to navigate all of this has just been so crazy. But when it comes to like age restrictions and requirements and stuff for our kids, like my husband and I, we've obviously had those talks of like, when what age the kids get to do certain things, or like, when this gonna happen and when this gonna happen. And we've generally just come to the conclusion that it's not even so much an age, but like a maturity level, if that makes sense. Obviously with like being home alone and stuff, yes, that's an age requirement and also a maturity level thing. But when it came to the cell phone, that was like a really hard topic for us because we didn't think that they should even get one until they were like 14, 15. And even then, like, no social media, right? The cell phone thing just kind of, again, was forced onto us. So it just happened. But now my son is like, well, Holly had one at my age. Like, why can't I have one? And it's like, well, we didn't necessarily get to be in on that full decision, right? And she has four parents, and they decided that that was the appropriate time to get her a phone. We don't necessarily feel that way. I'm just trying to talk to him and not use it as like a punishment, but just like, this has always kind of been our thought on it. And honestly, you're going to be better off as a kid and as a person and as a young adult without it. So that one's kind of been a little bit tricky. Staying home alone, we were doing that a little bit here and there when my stepdaughter was 12. Obviously, all the lockdown stuff was happening. They weren't in school. I still needed to go for a couple hours to work. My spouse works, so there was a couple hours of them being home by themselves. Didn't last very long because they proved that we were wrong and we shouldn't have left them home because they couldn't handle it. So that will also be a maturity level. We're kind of just starting to get back into trying that again. But it just takes a bit of a maturity level. And then that kind of goes with the same, like, lately, all my son wants to do is just like take a walk to the park by himself or like with a friend or whatever. I can't see the park from our house. It's really not that far. But I just feel like 8/9 is still a little too young to do that, be doing that by yourself. So then you get in the background. Well, my mom let me do it when I was 8 or 9, and it's just kind of explaining, like, okay, well, that was your mom's decision, and you're a different person than my son. And we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But at this point in time, I just don't think we're there, and we just need more practice of like walking safely and making smart decisions about crossing roads and So those things just all come in hand. And it's, again, probably could end every episode this way, but it's just about communication. If you just communicate to your kids, if everyone can kind of get on the same page, that's the best. It's almost never going to happen that we're going to be on the same page as the other household. I just don't foresee it being in the cards for us. But that's why the communication is just so important on our end with the kids, and trying not to bash the other parents as a result. So, man, it's like a tippy toe situation. I have really tried to learn how to do this. And honestly, there's a lot of things in my life that I've done as a mom that I didn't think I was ever going to do. But just because of the way our family is, the way we are blended, and how things are with the other household, they have just happened. And that's just me being a little more open-minded. So at the end of the day, that's just how we're doing things. So thank you guys so much for listening in, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to another Mother Podcast and being a part of our community. Remember, no matter how unique your situation, you are not alone. To be a part of the show, make episode topic suggestions, or to share your story, please email info@anothermotherpodcast.ca and make sure to follow @anothermotherpodcast on Facebook and Instagram, and leave us a rating on your preferred podcast app if you enjoyed the show. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.